Good morning, everybody. Hi. My name is Elisa McManus, and I'm at Binghamton University Libraries, and I'll also be joined by my colleague, Abigail Bordeaux. And we're members of the Electronic Resources Committee at the library there, which is how this presentation came about. And then prior to joining Binghamton, I was at the University of Maryland Libraries and also had an opportunity to serve on their Electronic Resources Committee there. So that's what this presentation is about. It's sort of the process that got developed at University of Maryland, trying to apply it to a different organization and how well that worked. Okay, in the fall of 2003, the University of Maryland Libraries undertook a review of their continuations in order to identify 25% of the subscriptions for possible cancellation. This is because of cuts to the library budget due to a campus budget shortfall. A serials review process was implemented, which included the prioritization of the electronic resources. And the lowest priority of electronic resources expenditures were the starting point for the cancellation decisions. Since most of the electronic databases and electronic journal packages were paid through a general e-resource fund, the e-resources review was undertaken, as I mentioned, by the UM Libraries Electronic Resources Committee, which was comprised of individuals representing collections, e-resources, reference, and subject areas. And one thing that was really important in that process is that the committee needed to achieve consensus on prioritizing the e-resources. And I'm sure many of you, as you work in your organizations and with different individuals, and especially when you're talking about limited resources and people who are working directly with their users, their patrons, their students. We're in an academic setting, so you know the students and the faculty. People feel quite strongly about those resources that are being offered. And when you're talking about cancellation, that's very stressful. And so, you know, we wanted to come up with a process whereby we could have these conversations and try to reach consensus in a fairly, hopefully, painless way for the people who were involved in the process. And University of Maryland Libraries is a team-based learning organization. And we had a practice of using facilitation tools that could be used to support group decision making. And so the committee decided to use a criteria-based decision grid, and that's described, and we'll have a slide at the end with a couple citations, but we did use a tool from, that tool came from this book by Ingrid Benz, Facilitation at a Glance. And so again, the purpose of the grid was to allow participants to objectively judge electronic resources against an agreed-upon set of criteria to help us achieve that consensus. And the other point I'd just like to make that before we started this process, the committee was able to successfully, just through discussion and conversation, identify a core list of resources that were protected from cancellation because they were considered so critical to research, teaching, and learning. It would just pretty much have been unthinkable to cancel one of them. And then so it was the remaining resources that were then ranked using the criteria-based decision grid. So when I came to the Binghamton University Libraries and, you know, we formed an electronic resources committee there, it seemed like there might be, since I felt like this process had worked well at Maryland, I thought it'd be interesting to see if we could take some of that and use it at Binghamton as well. And so while the UM Libraries review process served as the basis for review at Binghamton University Libraries, the purpose of the review was different at Binghamton because fortunately we haven't been in the position, while our budget has been steady, we haven't had cuts. So we haven't had to cancel anything. But again, because our budget isn't growing either, we really wanted to do something that would allow us to, on a regular basis, evaluate what we currently had and whether it was still useful or needed by our patrons. And so Well, the purpose of the review at BU Libraries was to implement an annual process to determine whether or not we should continue a particular electronic resource subscription. And electronic resources included reference materials, bibliographic databases, as well as our aggregators. And the review pertained specifically to items funded by the electronic resources budget. So for example, we didn't look at individual electronic journals that are assigned to individual subject funds. So again, at Binghamton, as I mentioned, the review was undertaken under the leadership of the Electronic Resources Committee, which is currently comprised, though not for long, of four members. And at this time, at the time of this review, the membership was the head of collections, the head of the science library, which is actually the role I had then. My job's changed since then. The head of reference and electronic services, and Abigail, who was the electronic resources librarian. And at BU Libraries, the subject funds are grouped into three families, is what we call them, which includes arts and humanities, social sciences, and science and engineering. And so the head of collections, and each member of the committee, I should mention, actually has subject responsibilities. So for example, my current subject responsibilities are computer and science and engineering. The head of collections is history. The head of reference was geography and had a background in GovDocs and social sciences. So we did have, even though there's no subject teams at Binghamton, and the bibliographers or the subject librarians there don't work formally in groups, there was this kind of idea that there were these kind of three broad areas that were representative on that group. And we did use the same criteria as the University of Maryland libraries, with the exception of the subject team ranking. And at the end of the presentation, I've included citation to an article that I wrote with a colleague at the University of Maryland, Jerry Foody. We wrote up the University of Maryland process. So if you wanted more background on that, it's there. And what one of the things we talk about is how we factor in the input of the subject teams into the process there. But at Binghamton, that wasn't relevant. But we did stick with these four criteria, which include access, cost-effectiveness, breadth, audience, and also uniqueness. And the access criterion evaluates how and where the information is delivered to users. And considerations, as you can see here, include technical reliability, whether or not the resource was open URL compliant, Z39.50 access for meta searching, ease of use, remote access, format considerations, such as whether it was on CD-ROM, and also any limitations on the number of users. So for example, if it wasn't unlimited access and we had to pick, we could have two simultaneous users, for example. The cost effectiveness criterion examined cost per search data, as well as rapid inflators, which is defined as, at the time we defined that as a price increase of 25% or higher. We'd had a policy existing in place that any time renewals came in, anything that was had inflated more than 25% was automatically flagged for consideration. So that we did fold into this process as well. The breadth criterion, it takes into consideration, and you can look at some of the things here that are bulleted, but it takes into consideration interdisciplinary needs and the number of potential users of any given resource. And it's balanced by this uniqueness criterion, which factors in department and niche needs, because you have to weigh, in an academic environment, we have these tools that are very broad that might be used by every single student, like LexisNexis. And then you can have something very specific, like maybe for our School of Management, that's a data resource that is really only used by graduate and faculty there. So you have to have a way to account for both of those things, but they're filling very different needs. So that's how the breadth and audience and uniqueness, that's why they're put in there and that's how it's designed. The scoring was by the Electronic Resources Committee, but again, an important part of this process is that it's inclusive, and we did do this with the input from the subject librarians, and they provided information about each resource using a web-based form that Abigail designed to provide information about each criterion. And I mentioned we do have some things that are more general and multidisciplinary, like LexisNexis, JSTOR, things like that. And we have a reference collection team, again, comprised of librarians who are from different subject areas, like one's from the science library, one is the business librarian. That membership's changed a little bit, too, and we currently have our social sciences librarian on that as well. But that was nice because they were able to take care of those materials and make sure forms got submitted so they weren't excluded from the process. And I also should mention that we didn't say that there could only be one form per resource, you know, because so many subject resources are multidisciplinary or interdisciplinary. So if two different subject librarians felt like a resource was important to an area, like, for example, PsycInfo might be a good example. It's useful for social work, it's useful for nursing, it's useful for psychology. So any one of those subject librarians could have felt free to submit a form, and that didn't happen in several cases. So that was nice. We made sure, you know, we had a range of opinions from different people. And this is just a quick screenshot of a just to give you an idea about the web-based form. It's not a screenshot of the entire form, but just to give you an idea of what it looked like. This is the first page. And again, we had each of the criteria. We tried to develop questions that we felt would gather the information that we needed. And then here's just a screenshot that includes the cost effectiveness. And we provided links to them to help them come up with the information. Though we did have to go back to people and try to verify. If we didn't understand something, we would check in with them. So the scoring, we evaluated each electronic resource by assigning a value of 1, 2, or 3 for each criterion. And the values were assigned as follows. 1 does not meet their criteria well. 2, somewhat meets the criteria. 3, good at meeting the criteria. And these four numbers were totaled to give each resource a score. And I just wanted to put in a table here to give you an example of the results. So for example, you can see here I just picked 4 from different subject areas plus the general JSTOR arts and sciences just to give you an idea. And again, 3 is meets the criteria well. And here we don't have any ones. The lowest is 2 for JSTOR in terms of its uniqueness. And that one of that things is like what it actually includes we did have available in other resources as well. So that would be an example of why it might have gotten a 2 instead of a 3. And you'll notice that we also sometimes had to do gradations of things. So if we weren't sure, something sometimes could get a 2.5, for example. And then you can see the scores. And those scores ended up allowing us to create a ranked list of resources. And this allowed us to quickly make renewal decisions. So we got the renewal, and boom, we didn't even have to consult. It was like, okay, it's a go, especially because we didn't have to cancel anything, thankfully. And we also identified substitutions for current subscriptions that provided enhanced content, improved interface, and that's something we weren't doing on a regular basis. We kind of left it up to the bibliographers, but this was really an opportunity for them. They hadn't sat down and looked at all the resources in their area in a while. So even though the forms took a while to fill out, I think people found it useful from that perspective. And then we also decided to migrate to the EBSCO or CSA platforms when possible for cost savings and to provide as much as possible consistent searching experience for our users. And then finally, the timing of the review was such that we were able to use the information gathered to evaluate resources being considered for consortial purchase by the SUNY system. They were looking at our big databases. For example, the SUNY funding went from ProQuest to EBSCO. And part of what we did was we had a questionnaire to fill out. And because we had done this review, it made it much easier for us to participate and provide input to that. And now I'll turn it over to my colleague, Abigail, who's going to talk a little bit about our wish list process and then our evaluation of both processes.
Thank you. do the slide?
We can just go forward from the beginning if we need to.
Sorry, I didn't realize it would do that.
Okay.
You just let me know when you're ready and I'll pick up. Is it on?
Okay, I'm all set.